Hi, this is Eric Castro with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to take some more time, and we're going to continue to talk about peace. And if you didn't see the first segment concerning peace, a tangible force, you need to go back and make sure that you get that, because I believe there's an impartation of peace upon it. But today, we're gonna look at something different. We're going to look at prayer, peace, and nations. And I tell you, I believe that there's a lot in this. We may have to even go further beyond this, but let's begin. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this strategic juncture in history, this message, and how it pertains to where we are. Father, I'm asking that you will impart into us, change us, that we would carry that power of prayer that's able to release peace in order to change nations. Father, we ask you for it. Bless my friends, open their ears, open my mouth, and Father, open our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, prayer and nations. We live in such a strategic time. Let's be positive. And when there's strategic times in God, there's usually danger in the air. And wickedness and a lot of evil. But let's take a look at the power of one man praying. Probably there were more praying, but we're going to look at one man and see how the operation of peace was working in the nation. So I want you to turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel was an Old Testament prophet. He was, after the destruction of Jerusalem, he went to live in Babylon. And he was mightily used by God. I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 6. Now, we're going to call this Daniel in the lion's den, but we're going to go beyond just the normal story. We're going to lay a little bit more of a foundation so we can see the power of this chapter, what was really happening. Daniel 6 verse 1, it pleased Darius the king to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts to them, and the king should have no damage. So here we have Daniel. He's elevated right up there next to Darius himself. Now, in this first year of Darius, Daniel now is in this position of kind of like prime minister. I want you to look at something else. Keep your finger there. And I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9. Verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, so same Darius, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans or Babylon. In the first year of his reign, so we're this right here, chapter 9, is happening with chapter 6. Both of those chapters are together. So really, I don't want you to see a chapter 6 and a chapter 9. I want you to see this as one compressed, powerful story. So Daniel takes over. He's the president. There's a new king. He's the prime minister, and there's a new king, Darius. And so, in the first year of his reign, Daniel understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years of the desolations of Jerusalem. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, Now watch. He's going to begin to go down, and really he's repenting, and he's repenting on behalf of the nation. And I mean, it's powerful to see this intercessory prayer of humility. He was humbling himself. He wasn't coming at God wearing his robes as the prime minister. No, no, those robes were somewhere else. He was humbling himself. He saw the true state of the nation. He saw that there's a new power in town. And he's like, God, you spoke this about Jerusalem and my people, the Jewish people. But nothing's happening. Listen, don't just think, well, if it's God's will, it will happen. Nothing was happening. Well, I think there was a lot happening, but we saw that something had to be spearheaded in prayer. Daniel, he didn't just start to pray. He began to humble himself. You know, side note, I've been doing that with the crosswalk lately. I don't just go to do evangelism. I humble myself. I say, God, if you don't move, these people won't be saved. I can't save them. But if you'll move, if you'll bring the tremblings of God upon their spirit, that they would know they're sinners and that Jesus loves them, then this can change. There is great value in humbling before the throne of God. You know, I've been talking about humbling, meditating on humility. There was a prophet called a king called Ahab. He was so bad. He was wicked. And God sends the prophet Elijah. Can you imagine having Elijah come to give you a word? I mean, give me somebody else, but not Elijah. Oh, my goodness. Elijah comes and gives him the word, God's judgment. And the Bible says that Ahab humbled himself. And when he did, God noticed. This wicked man, when he humbled himself, got God's attention. How powerful is humility? It's everything. Because without him, we can do nothing. And as we humble ourselves, we get his attention, and it makes room for him to move. Now, if God can notice Ahab, such a wicked man, his humility, how about us? If we would humble ourselves, how much more would God realize and take note and move on our behalf? So Daniel's humbling himself. And, you know, over in verse 13, he says something that I think that we should make a little note on. He's praying. He says, as it's written in the law of Moses, all this evil's come upon us. Now watch this. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. It's a rebuke to the nation. Look at all the bad that's going on, and you have not turned to God in prayer. Now, everything that he's talking about actually is linked into the book of Joel. When you read the book of Joel, chapter 1, Joel was living before this time, during the king Manasseh, and he was by the Holy Spirit commanding the people, repent and seek God, turn. All the leaders come together, seek God, pray to God, because God can turn this. God can change this if you'll pray. Now watch. All of a sudden, he's praying, and you need to go through this. In verse 21, while I was speaking in prayer, I was praying, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, he touched me about the time of the evening oblation. He informed me that and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I now come forth to give you skill and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications and the commandment came forth, and I came to show you, for thou art greatly loved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Pause. Daniel chapter 6, this is all happening. This Daniel was preferred, verse 3, above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now watch this. Then the presidents and princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They could find no occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Verse 5, these men said, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then the presidents and princes assembled to the king and said, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, except Daniel, the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, except thee, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions. Now, O king, establish this decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that this writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, gave thanks before his God as he did before time. These men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God. Now, that's a lot of reading. Don't let me lose you here. Daniel becomes prime minister. He's serving Darius. But he begins to fast and to seek God because he knows the 70 years is done. And nothing that he could see was changing. And so he began to intercede and humble himself and pray on behalf of the nation. All of a sudden, there's a stirring happening in the kingdom. All the demonic powers can sense this man humbling himself and praying to God. And under this stirring of envy and strife, it was just envy, the devil began to put pressure, make laws against praying. Why? Because Gabriel, the Most High Angel, came down and said, hey, Daniel, God Almighty sent me to begin to give you understanding and let you know what's going on. I'm telling you what, the power of God upon this man's praying, as that angel came down and began to put things into motion, in direction, as this man sought God, humbling himself, and all the demonic powers of the land were shaking. Make a law against praying. Make a law against praying. Well, you know what happened. The king realizes, oh no, I got tricked. They take Daniel. He's not moved. They put him in a den of lions, and an angel comes. And the gift of faith hits the den. The lions are not moving. Daniel is probably still praying or just resting, thinking about what Gabriel said. Well, the next morning, the king, now watch this. He shows up early. He couldn't sleep all night. And he yells out. Now, I find this interesting. He knew there was something about Daniel that gave him an inkling of hope that I could go to the lion's den and maybe he's alive because there's something about Daniel's God. There's too many stories about miracles. Daniel, are you alive? And Daniel, up out of that lion's den, O king, I'm alive. I mean, it's so powerful. He says, King, I didn't do anything wrong. I haven't wronged God. I haven't wronged you. And God has sent his angel. Now, you say, well, how's this to do with peace? Well, I'm going to tell you. I believe that when that king got there, the peace of God that passed understanding was passing the understanding of everything. I believe that that peace of God had come down like a cloud of glory, and it was just controlling everything in that vicinity. Well, you say, well, you're supposing that. Well, I'm going to tell you why I say that, because when the king got Daniel out and he threw all the bad leaders in, all of a sudden, Darius writes unto all the people, nations, and languages. Now watch this. All the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I am telling you what, this man of prayer, who was getting the strategy for the nation, he's in this lion's den. The power of the peace of God through the gift of faith comes down. He's just sitting there. The lions, they're not. They're just laying down. And when when the king shows up, he is so impacted by peace that he can't wait to begin to write to all the peoples in the earth, peace be multiplied to you. When he did that, now watch this, as the king, and I don't think he was a real godly man, I think he didn't know a lot, but as the king, he released through his authority that peace that was coming out of the house of God, the place of prayer. He began to release that peace upon the land, upon the earth. Peace is not the absence of problems. The peace of God comes into problems and begins to change them. I really believe for America, if the churches would begin to cry out to God, just like Daniel, humbling, I humble myself. Pastors, in front of your congregations, I humble myself. God, we haven't prayed. We've watched the news. We've acted like we're offended by what we hear. But yet we've never turned our congregations into this position of prayer on behalf of the nation. I believe that if churches would come together and begin to cry out, that the peace of God could come. Oh, there may be some lions, but if the prayer is fervent, the peace will control and change things so that godly men and women would be put into office and places of authority, school boards, so that there would be corrections in the nation so that a move of God could come upon America. Prayer, peace, nations. Peace is a weapon. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. Creation groans, waiting, not for a Sunday morning service, But for the people of God to be in a place where sonship can begin to manifest, and as we go, we bring peace to the places of confusion and strife. I'm so inundated right now in this message, I don't know where to go. Oh, listen, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I've done the best I know to do. I pray for my friend. I pray a spirit of prayer and peace. I pray that they would have revelation of the peace of God passing. That peace of God is Jesus, who gave us his peace, to use it like a weapon. I pray right now that any harassment of the enemy, that your peace would go right in and begin to change it. Begin to minister to their minds and to their hearts. Minister to them. Let them hear a word, a little prophetic word that would bubble up and give them such encouragement and edification and comfort that you're in them, that you're with them, that you're going to the other side. You were there when they were saved, and they're going to be in heaven one day, and together you're going to cross over. While we do, the world needs the manifestation of the peace of God. Oh, Father, I don't know. I just want to pray. I just want to pray as I'm with my friends, that a spirit of prayer would come and minister, that there would be a revival praying of repentance, of forgiveness, of receiving forgiveness, that you are faithful and just to cleanse and to forgive. But then as we pray, as we begin to pray, that you would come down upon our cities and towns, that you'd begin to speak to men and women about their sin and their unbelief and their doubt and their fears and their perversions, that they would begin to turn to the living God, the very God who opens his hand and satisfies the desires of everything living. Heavenly Father, I ask that your hand would be upon this teaching, upon my friend, upon my relatives and my nation in this world. Oh God, we ask you to move. We ask you to move. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, that's enough for now. Go to our website at www.4smiles.com. More information there. Share this video. Send it to somebody. Let them watch it. And I believe that there's a spirit of prayer that will come upon them, and they'll begin to see, God, we have to pray. We have to cry out to you. Listen, we love you. Jesus is coming soon. We got to be ready for him. And I'm telling you what, when you see him, you're going to be so happy. You're going to love him when you see him. You're going to say, oh, you're more beautiful than I ever thought. God bless you. Till next time. Bye-bye.